We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God. And you're listening to Bob Arthurs, pastor of that great church there. We've been there for nearly 22 years now. And, really thankful for what God has done. So thank you for tuning in. This morning is our vintage worship service. It takes place at 11 o'clock. Let me tell you, there are still plenty of seats available. If you are available at 11 o'clock today and would like to come and hang out with some saints of God and worship the Lord with some hymns and traditional choruses, if you'd like to join us in praying for miracles to take place and hearing the word of God, invite you to come and join us, 165 North Grove Street at 11 a.m. this morning. And then tonight is our kids worship service, our boys and girls ministries, Royal Rangers and girls ministries going on. And so we would like to invite you, if you've got kids 12 and under, if you'd like to bring them, maybe even a little bit older than that, 13, we have classes available and for them, and they're doing a great job in that endeavor as well. So we've been talking for the past several days here about getting sin out of our life, because sin brings weakness. The kingdom of darkness brings famine. It brings fatigue. It brings pain. It brings misery. It brings suffering. But God's kingdom brings strength, it brings healing, it brings joy. And so we've been talking about some internal things, about getting iniquity out of our life, pride out of our life, idleness out of our life, broken covenant out of our life, sexual sin out of our life, deception out of our life. We've been talking about a lot of the things that are our responsibility. But there is another source that can bring weakness and fatigue. And we're going to be talking out of the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra today, and show you some of the tactics of the enemy that are not because of sin in your life, but because you are set about to do the will of the Lord. And so in Nehemiah chapter 6, it says, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me harm. But I sent messengers to them, saying, 'I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, "There is a king in Judah." Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, "No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." And so, remember, we had started this off about talking about how Jonathan had walked in to David's camp when Saul was pursuing him, trying to deny the destiny that God had prophesied over David. And Jonathan walked up and he grabbed him by the hand and he took his hand and strengthened David's grip in the hand of God. And I want you to know that whenever you set out to do a great work for God, that the enemy is not going to like that. And so he will come against you. A lot of people believe that if there's any opposition whatsoever, that you should just go on and find something else to do. I want you to know that I believe the opposite is true, and that is when you are doing a work for God, that you can expect that there's opposition that is going to come against you, because the enemy is not happy with what is going on. And so it is the opposition, their intent is to do you harm. As I was preparing for this lesson, I have this picture that has played out 1,000 times probably or more in action movies and in television programs, where there's a person that is about to fall off of a building or fall off of a cliff or fall out of an airplane, and there's a person that has reached over and they have grabbed them by the hand. And there's the person, and their hand is interlocked with the other person's hand, and yet they're the one that is reaching up, and their hand gets very tired. And then you see that their hand is slipping, and sometimes there's somebody that swoops in to catch them right before they fall, or sometimes they just fall, depending upon what they're trying to portray in the movie. I want you to know today that God wants to strengthen your grip to a strength level that it is not going to be in your heart to say, you know what, I'm just not strong enough to hold on anymore. Today, if you are listening to this program and God has given you breath, I tell you, he has an assignment for you that is going to be accomplished, not in your strength, not in your might, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. And the only thing that we have to do is to continue to hold our hand in his hand. And so I want to encourage you today to strengthen your grip. That is what the topic of this broadcast is today. Strengthen your grip, because the enemy, in verse number 9, it says, "For they were all trying to make us afraid." One of the greatest tactics of the enemy is discouragement. Discouragement. Things are not going as fast as what you thought they would. Things are not proceeding very, very rapidly at all. In fact, it may look like things are actually receding at that point in time. You and I, if we get discouraged, we're tempted to just give up and say, "Oh well." But I have a promise from God for Merit Assembly of God, and that is in 1 Peter 5:9, and it's let me just take you back there. It is the verse that God spoke to me over and over again that brought me to Merit Assembly of God. It's the verse that keeps me there. And he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And so I have had that verse through the years, and whenever the enemy gets me to the point of being discouraged, I go back to that verse and I see what God has promised, that he is strengthening, and he has strengthened us. He has strengthened us. We are able to do more to impact our community now than we were when I first came. We're actually doing more to impact our community now than we've ever done before. In spite of all of the job losses out at NASA and things like that, we said instead of retreating, we are going to go forward. We are going to progress. And God is going to make us stronger. So don't let discouragement cause you to withdraw, but instead allow the Spirit of God to encourage you. Just like Moses and had spoken to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, because the work you're doing, God is going to help you to succeed. So there will be people that are planted by the enemy that will come in and try and get you discouraged. Maybe it'll be discouraged in the area of finances. It could be discouraged in the area of your relationships. It could be discouraged in the growth of your business or in the growth of your church. If there's any pastors that are out there listening at this point in time, the enemy will try and discourage you from pursuing the plan and the purpose that God. But I just encourage you today. Barnabas was an encourager. He wasn't a discourager. He was an encourager. So allow me to come along right now and undo what the enemy tries to do in discouraging you. And let me encourage you today that the God who breathed life in you, He is greater than any challenge. He is greater than any enemy. It does not matter. I read in the scriptures where there was an army who had amassed against Hezekiah, and I believe it had 185,000 people that had gathered against them, and that was no match for the Spirit of the living God. So I want to encourage you today. God is bigger than your problems. So do not let discouragement take hold. And it says they were trying to make us afraid. They were trying to make us afraid. The enemy's kingdom is built upon fear. I just did a teaching a little over a week ago in a Bible school in Fiji, because of the technology that is available now. And in that lesson, it said that the enemy has two weapons that he uses to attack our homes and us as individuals. One is deception and the other is fear. He will try and get homes built on fear. He will try to get people afraid so that fear is a paralyzing force that the enemy uses to prevent you and I from pursuing the plan of God. I'll say that again. The enemy uses fear as a paralyzing force to prevent you and I from walking in obedience and fulfilling the plan of God. So I don't want to be paralyzed by fear. I want to be mobilized by faith. I want to be mobilized by faith. And so let me tell you this. I worked in the business world, and the business world, the company that I worked for, they motivated their workers by fear. If you don't meet your quota, if you don't do this, then you are going to be terminated. And I've told on this broadcast before about how I worked for a different company, and that person, he motivated all of his subordinates by fear. And one day God spoke to me and said, well, let me ask you, how much do you make an hour? And I told him, and it was $7 an hour. And he said, well, do you think that I could possibly give you another job that makes $7 an hour? And I said, well, yes, sir, I do believe that you could. And the power of fear was broken in my life at that point in time. That didn't mean that I slacked off in my job. I still did everything to the glory of God. But that person no longer held me in fear. And so today, I want you to know that if your sins have been forgiven and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you don't have anything to be afraid of. You don't have any sickness to be afraid of. You don't have any bill to be afraid of. You don't have any enemy, because your eternity is going to be secure. So you can just go ahead and move forward in faith. I remember several years ago seeing a testimony about a pastor in Cali, Colombia, which was the drug capital of the world. And this pastor began to see a move of God, and people began to get saved, and there began to be death threats against his life. And some of those attempts failed. And his philosophy was, look, until I have finished the assignment that God has given to me, the power of intimidation and fear has no place in my life. And so he did not withdraw. He did not stop, but he continued to press ahead and began to see a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. One day he walked out his front door and they killed him. And you say, well, that's terrible. Yes, that is terrible. Persecution is very real in the world today. I heard a statistic a couple of weeks ago that over 1 million Christians have been martyred since the year 2000. 1 million. And you might think martyrdom is something that just happened, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I want you to know more people have been martyred for their faith since the year 2000 than throughout the entire history of the world, I believe is what that person had said. So you and I, we don't have to give in to the spirit of fear. We continue to live by faith. So they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. So the purpose of the discouragement and the fear was to create a lack of commitment to the God-ordained work that God had called Nehemiah to do. You see, self-preservation, they say, is one of our highest instincts in human beings. But I am so thankful that Jesus came and laid down his life for me. He wasn't into self-preservation. He was into the redemption of the saints. And there are people to this day, I want to give a shout out to our military personnel, because they are one that runs to the battle, not runs away from it. I want to give a shout out and say thank you to our police officers and to our firefighters, to our emergency personnel, because they run to the tragedy. They don't run away from it. And so today, as I am talking to on the radio here, as you're listening, I don't want anybody to give up on the work that God has given to you to do. Instead, allow God to deepen that commitment. That say, you know what? If the enemy is opposed to this that fervently, then it must have great promise for building the kingdom of God and bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So today, be more committed, because Satan does not want that work accomplished, but God wouldn't have birthed it in your heart if he did not want it accomplished. A few weeks ago, I was traveling through a region that I had served as an assistant pastor back in the 1980s. And back then there was a church structure that was down the street from our church. And that's all it was. It was just a couple of walls, and they weren't even complete. And I asked the pastor what was up with that. And he said, well, there was a person who went around the country and they were raising money to build that structure, and they got it part of the way up and then it collapsed. There was a storm that came up and it collapsed. And so they raised money to build it again, and it collapsed. In other words, the person who was building it wasn't very good in construction, just in case you were wondering. And it sat that way for years and years. And so 25 years after I left, this time when I drove by, I saw that the building had finally been completed, that it... I don't know if the same person was there and involved in it or not, but no matter how long it has taken, I encourage you today to continue to press on and say, you know what, if a demonic angel could oppose Daniel's answer to prayer coming for 21 days, but yet Michael came and the answer came, then I know that God is going to see this accomplished. I've been at Merit Assembly of God for almost 22 years. We're not as large as I thought we would be by this time. We have seen a lot of people's lives transformed. We've seen people develop gift sets that are being utilized in other churches across the country. We thank God for that. We've seen people who couldn't play an instrument that became masterful on those instruments. And I let God take care of the accounting. Several years ago, 40% of my congregation, it was one of those things where every week somebody was coming and saying, Pastor, we're moving here. We're moving across the state. Pastor, we're moving to, 50 miles away. Pastor, we're moving all the way across the country. Pastor, we're moving back up north. And it got to the point where it's like people said they wanted to talk to me, and it's like, oh, so where are you moving to? And 40% of our congregation moved away. And so I was out standing on a ladder. I was actually painting the church at that point in time. And I was saying, God, you know, what is going on? What is going on? Because I was discouraged. But I want you to know that what happened was God brought a move of God. And during that time when everybody was moving away, our finances actually went up. And the people that moved away were some of our most generous givers up until that point in time. And God came in and breathed encouragement into me. And instead of walking away discouraged and giving up, we are continuing to press on. And we are believing that God is going to do great things. Ezra in chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, we're going to try and touch on this today. Ezra, it's right, the book just to the left of Nehemiah, Ezra chapter 6, verse 19, and it says, "And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, and all of them were ritually clean. And they slaughtered the Passover lambs for the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel who had returned from the captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." And so as the program is winding down here, in verse number 21, it says, they had separated themselves in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. If you and I are going to have strong hands, we have got to have our minds set on seeking God. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And when I think of that verse, I kind of think of the way that sometimes my wife is telling me to look for something, and I go in there and I look for it, and I said, I can't find it. And then she'll come in there and says, well, if you just lift this up here, you'll find it right there. And so kind of sometimes we kind of lackadaisically seek for something. But when I am really hunting for something, there is nothing that is safe. I mean, I will turn it upside down, and I'm going to continue to search for it until I find it. And so these people had said, you know what, we're going to seek the Lord. And as a result of that, it says they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with joy. When you come to church this weekend, and by the way, I want to invite you, if you do not have a church home, come and join us. Maybe you have giftings that God, and you know, one of the things we talked about is idleness. Maybe you're not utilizing the giftings that God has given to you yet, and you want to put those to use for the kingdom of God. We have several things that we are believing God to birth at Merit Assembly of God. And I've told God this, God, I will do whatever you call us to do, whatever you birth in our hearts to do for your glory, we'll do it, but you've got to provide the laborers. You've got to provide the laborers. And so as they were doing this, it says they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with joy. Now, I like what it says in the New International Version. They call them celebrations. In other translations, they're called festivals or feasts. And it says that they keep it with joy. So when you come to the house of God, I want you to come with joy. Come expecting because of the Lord who lives in your heart. It is not fulfilling a religious ritual, but instead there should be joy. And it says that the reason that they came with joy was for the Lord made them joyful. He filled them with the joy of the Lord. Jesus came and he bestowed upon us his peace and his joy. If you think that being a Christian is about being a sour lemon, I want you to know that is wrong. That is wrong. Yes, there are going to be some serious times, but I tell people that I love to have a great time. I love to be going about filled with joy. And God transformed them with the joy of the Lord. And as a result of that, he created allies for them. And it said, and God turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And so I want to commend to you that you are not in this alone. You were not meant to live life alone. You were not meant to live as a hermit. You were not meant to live as a castaway. You were meant to be an integral part of the body of Christ. God has placed something in you that is beneficial to the entire body. And what happened was God turned the heart of the king. And if he did it then, he can do it now. God turned the heart of the king of Assyria, and he created an ally for the people of God. Look, if you feel like you're just going through life and you're fighting all your battles by yourself, I want you to know you don't have to live life like that. God has given you and I the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the other believers, are supposed to be allies for one another. There were times in the scripture where Joab said, look, if the front that we are fighting on, if we come under attack and the enemy is too great, we're going to sound the trumpet and you come running to us. And if the battle is too much for you, sound the alarm and we will come running to you. If you are living life without a spiritual ally, I want to encourage you to contact us at Merit Assembly of God. We would love to pray for you. We would love to be your spiritual ally in helping you to accomplish the work that God has given. God, I just pray for everybody that is listening to this broadcast right now, God, that for those who are under external attack, God, the enemy has tried to discourage them. He's tried to make them afraid. He's tried to get them to live a lack of commitment to the work of God. God, I pray today that you would transform those who are listening, that they would be filled with the joy of the Lord so that they could celebrate what God has done. God, I pray today that if anybody feels all alone, that they would know for a fact that you will never leave them and never forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to once again give a shout out to those who are partners with us here at Merit Assembly of God, Jits Concrete here in Cocoa, Florida, if you need any concrete work done. And then Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. And also one of our newest ones, Wyrick Air. If you need some air conditioning work done, you can call us and we can get that number for you. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.